get rich and the poor get poorer? Bullshit. There's another saying that ought to be. The bad get rich and the good get poorer because you're told somehow this makes you good. To wallow in poverty. God is abundance. And if you create lesser than abundance, quite frankly, Hatton here feels it is an insult to the very being that created you. Why would only the bad in your perception get all the goodies? Because you sit and allow it, that's why. And then, to live with it, you try, through your preachers, to convince you that you don't deserve it. This is a life of suffering and poverty, and somehow that makes you pure. It makes you foolish and unhappy. And look at what the unhappiness is doing. One's turn to devil worship. All the destructive things that you can perpetrate. And ones who are, quote, good, end quote, stand by and say, what can I do about it? It's too big. Yes, if you fight it, it's too big. They'll just pluck you out. But if you quietly go about making a change and showing a better way, they're just going to follow along. And pretty soon, whatever of the masses that are left will just finally say, no more. No more. We're through with that, Uncle Brother. But you've come to a period of time in the history and evolution of this place that it will not be that simply brought to an end. You're to the end of a cycle this time. That makes the transition a little more difficult. The sorting has begun. We feel very much pain for you ones. As we look at all this nonsense about AIDS cures. And still, the horror is being perpetrated on the very ones carrying the disease. As every money-making, greedy SOB comes along and tries to sell you a cure for AIDS. The snake water, you know, a lot of alcohol and worthless. AIDS has been created by man. It's of the basest of the base activities of man. And man has created it at first as a form of punishment for himself and control a fellow man. That is an earth-created disease. And it will not be cured. Please hear me well. It will not be cured. If you find a cure, quote, end quote, for one form of it, it will simply mutate. Man has got to have some form of legal suicide. You will not get rid of cancer completely. And some of your brothers out there on your other continents who don't like you too much help create these things. But you see, you cannot isolate something like that. That comes back to get you. Because that's the way it is. What you reap, actually, I guess it's what you sow, you also reap. But I'll tell you one thing. The Russians are way ahead of you. They also know how to control it. And you don't. But that's beside the point. AIDS itself will wipe out a major part of Earth population. It will completely, before it is done, have wiped out all of Africa. And now you are birthing children through your drug society. These poor, innocent young girls who to play, to foster their drug habits, who shoot up, as you call it, with community needles, are producing multitudes of babies, and almost all carry AIDS. What kind of a future when these children become sexually active in a few years? They're doomed. That's why we must work. This sort of activity must be stopped and turned around. And you don't do it by fighting it or force. You simply must show a better way. And then be very careful that you do not get trapped within its system. But by and large, unless a commitment and a contract has been prior made by any ones of you, you will increase in health, because you're going to have to hold strong. And it will take some sacrifice and some very thoughtful management of your activities. That does not mean we're not going to let you have fun and celebrate. But it means I'm not going to let you have any fun in your celebration. If I am concerned, we may have to evacuate. You're there to experience and have fun. But your major reason for being there is to get a job done. But there is no point in being there if you're going to make a drudge of it and suffer all the while you're doing it. Who in the world wants to follow somebody else suffering? Quit suffering. I don't want to see any of you suffer. If you don't like what's going on around you, you can change it. And this is much more Dorma as any of you. If she's tired, she should walk out the back door and go sit on here. You're going to have to confront the fact that you control what you do. No blame anybody else. If you accept the burden, then it's your fault, isn't it? It's just like a gift. If Daylene bothered to paint a beautiful mug for her mother on her birthday, it is still not a gift until Dorma accepts it. That is the same thing with a burden or guilt or somebody else's problem. Until you reach your hands out and take it unto you. Do you follow? You cannot blame anyone, no other energy, zero, for anything that happens to you. For if it affects you like that, that means you accepted it because you wanted it. You made a choice at some level, sometime, somewhere, that you prefer to suffer through it than to put it aside and release it. And that's hard when it becomes your family or your close attachments or your children. That one really gets you. Real hookers. And almost all activities on your place are perpetrated, partaken of, in one way or another, in an effort to control. Please go again and look at what I just said the next time you do something. It is usually unintentional, but most of the time between spouses, children, and parents, it is for control of a given situation through the only tools that you've been taught to use. And very often, you adults will know this is through sexual activity, not love. The two are mutually exclusive. And basically, anymore in your society, is not even relative. Mankind wants power and control to feel of his own worthiness. That is sad and unfortunate. For each has to come to confrontation with the fact that you are perfection. And you need none of that baloney to give yourself self-worth. And yet, if you did not walk through this, how could you possibly work with your brother? If he sees you in perfection and all you do is drift quietly along, and you say, but it is perfection. No, it's not perfection. It's grossly imperfection on your place. There is no perfection short of God. That's why you're experiencing. There would be no purpose otherwise. You just go in your perfection. You're beautiful ones. And your brother needs a hand. And you volunteered. And I'm proud of you. Because you come from my troops. Because our energies look more like your ones. And our energies are birthed into your wants. So that there will be no apparent difference. We don't look like the little ones from Reticulum. But there are planets that are inhabited much as yours, where they look more like Reticulum beings. And these little ones have worked in the nighttime and replaced their appearance with dreams. And they've worked very diligently in behalf of you ones for this very time in the history of the evolution of this place, so that you ones can, when it is necessary, travel in a light beam without killing your body. They get a bad rap. And there were volunteers who came to this place to be followed periodically as research beings. Read Whitley Strieber's last book. He's one of them. Your mission has been different. You travel back and forth now in a very human, bodily way. We're talking about getting you ones off of a planet, not on the ground, not 14 feet in the air, as these abductions are called. We're talking about clearing a planet in less than 15 minutes from a distance of 200 miles. And if you think it isn't really hard on you to go 200 miles in a light beam in that frequency, brother, your toes are going to hurt. And unless you've worked a little bit at raising those vibrations, it is an incredible number will simply change dimensions. The physical form cannot hold up. But we're not borrowing that problem now. We're borrowing the problem of let's get this business going. And that's why I have wanted to kind of drift about it for a few days while it takes form. You have asked for assistance from us. More importantly, you have demanded response from your own mind. And when you demand and expect the answer, it will be there. These will just roll out of your head. And as you get together, you're going to find you know everybody that you need to know. One of you. Fragments will not come all together in any one being, whether it be for building a city or building a free energy device. Mr. Tesla and Mr. Russell, Mr. Newton, Mr. Einstein, Mr. von Braun will work together, and there will be fragments coming from all around. Dharma and Oberlin cannot build a city without Randall and Rick and Rick and Pete and Charles, Jim Crawford, John Guthrie, because you also carry parts that without your part, the picture is not finished. And even if the picture can be finished without you, it makes it so much more difficult. And yet there had to be a time lag while ones came into their own knowledge that they needed something more. And then you quietly get drawn for some reason into the proximity of someone else. And it makes sense. There's not one human creature on your earth who does not feel somewhere in their soul they're here for a purpose. Get rich and the poor get poorer. Bullshit. There's another saying that ought to be. The bad get rich and the good get poorer, because you're told somehow this makes you good to wallow in poverty. God is abundance. And if you create lesser than abundance, quite frankly, Hatton here feels it is an insult to the very being that created you. Why would only the bad in your perception get all the goodies? Because you sit and allow it, that's why. And then, to live with it, you try, through your preachers, to convince you that you don't deserve it. This is a life of suffering and poverty, and somehow that makes you pure. It makes you foolish and unhappy. And look at what the unhappiness is doing. One's turn to devil worship. All the destructive things that you can perpetrate. And ones who are, quote, good, end quote, stand by and say, what can I do about it? It's too big. Yes, if you fight it, it's too big. They'll just pluck you out. But if you quietly go about making a change and showing a better way, they're just going to follow along. And pretty soon, whatever of the masses that are left will just finally say, no more. No more. We're through with that, Uncle Brother. But you've come to a period of time in the history and evolution of this place that it will not be that simply brought to an end. You're to the end of a cycle this time. That makes the transition a little more difficult. The sorting has begun. We feel very much pain for you ones. As we look at all this nonsense about AIDS cures, and still, the horror is being perpetrated on the very ones carrying the disease. As every money-making, greedy SOB comes along and tries to sell you a cure for AIDS. The snake water. You know, a lot of alcohol and worthless. AIDS has been created by man. It's of the basest of the base activities of man. And man has created it at first as a form of punishment for himself and control a fellow man. That is an earth-created disease. And it will not be cured. Please hear me well. It will not be cured. If you find a cure, quote, end quote, for one form of it, it will simply mutate. Man has got to have some form of legal suicide. You will not get rid of cancer completely. And some of your brothers out there on your other continents who don't like you too much help create these things. But you see, you cannot isolate something like that. That comes back to get you. Because that's the way it is. What you reap, I guess it's what you sow, you also reap. But I'll tell you one thing. The Russians are way ahead of you. They also know how to control it. And you don't. But that's beside the point. AIDS itself will wipe out a major, major part of Earth population. It will completely, before it is done, have wiped out all of Africa. And now you are birthing children through your drug society. These poor, innocent young girls who to play, to foster their drug habits, who shoot up, as you call it, with community needles, are producing multitudes of babies and almost all carry AIDS. What kind of a future when these children become sexually active in a few years? They're doomed. That's why we must work. This sort of activity must be stopped and turned around. And you don't do it by fighting it or force. You simply must show a better way. And then be very careful that you do not get trapped within its system. But by and large, unless a commitment and a contract has been prior made by any ones of you, you will increase in health. Because you're going to have to hold strong. And it will take some sacrifice and some very thoughtful management of your activities. That does not mean we're not going to let you have fun and celebrate. But it means I'm not going to let you have any fun in your celebration. If I am concerned, we may have to evacuate. You're there to experience and have fun. But your major reason for being there is to get a job done. But there is no point in being there if you're going to make a drudge of it and suffer all the while you're doing it. Who in the world wants to follow somebody else suffering? Quit suffering. I don't want to see any of you suffer. If you don't like what's going on around you, you can change it. And this is much more Dharma as any of you. If she's tired, she should walk out the back door and go sit on here. You're going to have to confront the fact that you control what you do. No blame anybody else. If you accept the burden, then it's your fault, isn't it? It's just like a gift. If Daylene bothered to paint a beautiful mug for her mother on her birthday, it is still not a gift until Dharma accepts it. That is the same thing with a burden or guilt or somebody else's problem. Until you reach your hands out and take it unto you, do you follow? You cannot blame anyone, no other energy, zero, for anything that happens to you. For if it affects you like that, that means you accepted it because you wanted it. You made a choice at some level, sometime, somewhere, that you prefer to suffer through it than to put it aside and release it. And that's hard when it becomes your family or your close attachments or your children. That one really gets you. Real hookers. And almost all activities on your place are perpetrated, partaken of, in one way or another, in an effort to control. Please go within and look at what I just said. The next time you do something, it is usually unintentional, but most of the time between spouses, children, and parents, it is for control of a given situation through the only tools that you've been taught to use. And very often, you adults will know this is through sexual activity, not love. The two are mutually exclusive. And basically, anymore in your society, is not even relative. Mankind wants power and control to feel of his own worthiness. That is sad and unfortunate. For each has to come to confrontation with the fact that you are perfection. And you need none of that baloney to give yourself self-worth. And yet, if you did not walk through this, how could you possibly work with your brother? if he sees you in perfection and all you do is drift quietly along, and you say, but it is perfection. No, it's not perfection. It's grossly imperfection on your place. There is no perfection short of God. That's why you're experiencing. There would be no purpose otherwise. You would just go in your perfection. You're beautiful, Watson. And your brother needs a hand. And you volunteered. And I'm proud of you. Because you come from my troops. Because our energies look more like your ones. And our energies are birthed into your wants. So that there will be no apparent difference. We don't look like the little ones from Reticulum. But there are planets that are inhabited much as yours, where they look more like Reticulum beings. And these little ones have worked in the nighttime and replaced their appearance with dreams. And they've worked very diligently in behalf of you ones for this very time in the history of the evolution of this place, so that you ones can, when it is necessary, travel in a light beam without killing your body. They get a bad rap. And there were volunteers who came to this place to be followed periodically as research beings. Read Whitley Strieber's last book. He's one of them. Your mission has been different. You travel back and forth now in a very human bodily way. We're talking about getting you ones off of a planet, not on the ground, not 14 feet in the air, as these abductions are called. We're talking about clearing a planet in less than 15 minutes from a distance of 200 miles. And if you think it isn't really hard on you to go 200 miles in a light beam in that frequency, brother, your toes are going to hurt. And unless you've worked a little bit at raising those vibrations, it is an incredible number will simply change dimensions. The physical form cannot hold up. But we're not borrowing that problem now. We're borrowing the problem of let's get this business going. And that's why I have wanted to kind of drift about it for a few days while it takes form. You have asked for assistance from us. More importantly, you have demanded response from your own mind. And when you demand and expect the answer, it will be there. These will just roll out of your head. And as you get together, you're going to find you know everybody that you need to know. One of you. Fragments will not come all together in any one being, whether it be for building a city or building a free energy device. Mr. Tesla and Mr. Russell, Mr. Newton, Mr. Einstein, Mr. von Braun will work together, and there will be fragments coming from all around. Dorma and Oberlin cannot build a city without Randall and Rick and Rick and Pete and Charles, Jim Crawford, John Guthrie, because you also carry parts that without your part, the picture is not finished. And even if the picture can be finished without you, it makes it so much more difficult. And yet there had to be a time lag while ones came into their own knowledge that they needed something more. And then you quietly get drawn, for some reason, into the proximity of someone else. And it makes sense. There's not one human creature on your earth who does not feel somewhere in their soul they're here for a purpose. Sadly enough, some's only purpose is to exist in the teeming hell of these cities, to be there and make the transition while the sorting must be done. For when we build up the city and move into the radiance of a fourth dimensional planet, the darkness will not be. And there's no other way to do it than the way it's being done. And you ones are going to be stuck with watching the masses be taken out. And we're going to go right on and build. And the ones who have chosen to remain would have glorious time. It's all choice. And you don't have to concern yourself with it. You can make your choice, and your brother makes his. And it's none of your business what is his choice. If you have offered him and he refuses, he just made his choice, and it's not your business. You cannot do anything for another. You can hope, you can pray, you can assist, you can offer knowledge, but you cannot preach, or you will drive him farther away. And the sooner you come into that knowledge, all you have to do is watch a child. And you say, you may not play with that little boy anymore, Eli. He is banned from your friendship list. You have just thrown down the gauntlet. He will get in touch with that child. If he has to do it at 1 o'clock in the morning, secretly on the telephone. You have to guide, not throw down demands. A demand, an unyielding, you will not only causes these youngsters especially to say, I'll show you. And yet, youngsters must have discipline. They will push and push until you do put your foot down. And then you give them something better. And it doesn't always have to be terrorizing. If you've not done it the first few times you do it, it may really be a confrontation. these little creatures if what you are telling them is reasonable and correct. They want to respect you, not walk all over you. And they'll push you right to the edge. And they'll watch you while you go over. And then they'll hate you for it. Suddenly it's all your fault. Whatever they get into is your fault now. And all you've done is struggle as a parent to the best of your ability. And you'll sit and you'll say, where did I go wrong? You didn't go right or wrong. You made some incorrect choices, perhaps. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you did. You might plan better in what you perceive you may do if you're still around for, quote, future. But you better deal with what is today. That's all you have. What is. No more, no less. And whatever you did 5 minutes ago may have some impact on this moment, but there's not one damn thing you can do about it. Not one. If you hurt someone, you might pick up the phone or touch and say, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. Please forgive me. And you know what? Sometimes it works with a child. If you sit down with a little child and say, you know, Mommy was really tired, and I'm not perfect, and I love you, and I ask for you to understand me just as I'm trying to understand you. Never underestimate a child. Never underestimate your perceived enemy. Go to the one you perceive to be your enemy and say, I don't know how we became enemies, and I'm sorry if it was my fault. And then release it. Don't dwell on it. The only thing from the past are the lessons you should have learned. And if you can have fun talking about your motorcycle trips or your bike trips, enjoy it for what it is. That's all the value in it. And if there were painful memories from the past, cast them out. Do not go back to them. Pretend they are gone. For you are not the same. They are not the same. The lessons are either learned or not. It's done. Let it go. And if you have a relationship and you have a tendency to throw into each other's face what was, stop it. For then you have carried the negativity of the past into the present, and you cannot function as you should in the present. And you're building walls. And if you get them thick enough, no matter how long you have in your future, the probabilities, not impossibility, but the probability is they will remain. Are you sick of the lesson?
It isn't that we're sick of the lesson, Commander. It is about time for the gentlemen to arrive, and we probably should give Dorma a break so she can get her eyes back in her head and herself awake by the time they come.
Well, I have to take every chance I've got.
I know.
Please, Rick, do not perceive me as a military commander. I'm called Commander, I'm called Bashar, simply because I am called teacher, guide, command. We don't have a hierarchy like you ones. But we come in the nearest description that you can understand. And these ones can tell you who I am and a little bit of the, I don't like the term, but it fits in your vocabulary of hierarchical command. And we don't function like you ones, and you're going to function more like we ones. We each have a job to do. That's the only difference. My job is only different from yours. No less, no more. And I will take my leave for now. I hear what you say, and I would like her maybe to have a little bit of silence.
Thank you.
Salut.
Salut, monsieur.
I will just step aside. I don't leave, and I wouldn't miss that jacuzzi for anything.
It's probably still warm if you want to get in.
We'll see about that jacuzzi. Oh.